Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, city of sunshine, palm trees blowing in the wind. Beautiful day today. It promises to be hot today. So, as you go out, dress accordingly, but with clothes on. We thank you today for being with us again. We want you to know that we appreciate you, 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 and you. Yes, and guess what? We do love you. We really, really do. And we send you lots of love, hugs, and, of course, our prayers. And trust that you're praying for us also. And we thank God for you today. Yes, yes, it's a beautiful day. Oh, yes, it is. Praise God. And I'm going to praise the Lord and glorify him today. We're going to hear now from my own sister Diane, because she ain't coughing today.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanking God for this day that he gave all of us a second chance. I just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, as I come before you this day, Lord, Father God, asking you, Lord, Father God, for forgiveness, Lord, Father God, of any sin, Lord, Father God, that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, and in actions, Lord, Father. Asking you, Father God, for being that merciful God, Lord, Father God. Thanking you, Father God, for hearing our prayers, Lord, Father. Father God, we thank you, Lord, Father God, for being our provider, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father God, for being our healer, Lord, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for being our comforter, Lord, Father God. And Father God, we thanking you, Lord, Father God, for all things, Lord, Father God, that you're doing for us, Lord, Father God, have done for us, Lord, Father God, and still doing for us, Lord, Father. Father God, as I come before you, Lord, Father God, lay my hands upon this prayer list, Lord, Father. Father God, you know each and every person, Lord, Father God, upon this prayer list, Lord, Father, from the time it started, Lord, Father. Father God, we thank you for our praise report, Lord, Father God, that we have received, Lord, Father. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in them right now, Lord, Father God. Father God, those, Lord, Father God, that are asking for jobs, Lord, Father, we thank you, Lord, Father God, for providing for them, Lord, Father. Oh, Father God, those, Lord, Father God, that need a healing touch, Lord, Father God, in their body, Lord, Father God, even to their spirit man right now, Lord, Father God, we speak healing right now to it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. Thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, for just having your way, Lord, Father. Oh, Father God, we thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, for peace. We thank you, Lord, Father God, for joy and happiness. And most of all, Lord, Father God, we thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, for your agape love, Lord, Father. Father God, as I come before you, holding breath, Lord, Father God, in prayer, Lord, Father God, on the loss of his wife, Lord, Father God. Sid, Lord, Father God, on the loss of her mom, Lord, Father God. We pray today, Lord, Father God, for the families, Lord, Father God. We pray mostly, Lord, Father God, for them right now, Lord, Father God. Give them the peace, Lord, Father God, that pass all understanding, Lord, Father God. Letting them know, Father God, you make no mistakes, Lord, Father. Give them the comfort, Lord, Father God, that they need right now, Lord, Father. Touch our listeners, Lord, Father God, Father God, those that also lost loved ones, Lord Father, going through, Lord Father God, whatever situation, Lord Father God, letting them know, Lord Father God, that they are overcomers today, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father God, for being that lawyer, Lord Father God, in the courtroom that we need, Lord Father. We thanking you right now, Lord Father God, for favor right now, Lord Father God, in all situations, Lord Father God. Oh, Father God, we can't even thank you enough, Lord Father God. We even thank you for this broadcast right now, Lord Father God, reaching, Lord Father God, all across the nation, Lord Father. Father God, bless them right now, Lord Father. I plead the blood of Jesus over this broadcast today, Lord Father God, canceling all assignment, Lord Father God, that was sent towards this broadcast, Father God, to try to hinder it, Lord Father God, or anything, Lord Father. We render it null and void right now, and we say, have your way, Lord Father. We thanking you right now, Lord Father God, for healing and deliverance, Father God, as they hear, Lord Father God, the word come forth, Lord Father God. We thank you for working in hearts and minds right now, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father God, for change of mindset right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Father God, to continue to decrease in us, Father God, as you continue to increase in us. And Father God, continue, Lord Father God, to give us better understanding, Father God, in you today, Lord Father. Oh, Father God, let us, Father God, be a light today in someone's darkness, Lord Father God, letting them know that you love them and that they are an overcomer, Lord Father. We speak encouragement to those, Lord, today that feels that there are no one, Lord Father. We speak, Lord Father God, letting them know, Lord Father God, that they are a child of the Most High God. Father, we thank you, Lord Father God. Father God, I pray today, Lord Father God, covering, Lord Father God, my apostle and my pastors, Father God. Father God, as you decrease them, Lord Father God, as you increase in them, Lord Father God, to bring forth the word, Lord Father, I pray, Father, that you continue, Lord Father God, to keep them covered under the blood, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Yes, let me give you a short word today. Yes, let me get it, you know. I ran across this. I thought it was rather nice. It is nice. Heavenly Father, please give me the wisdom to see my own imperfections clearly and the strength to transform them for the better. How's that? Heavenly Father, please give me the wisdom to see my own imperfections clearly and the strength to transform them for the better. Ah, oh, yes, yes, yes. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? And it's beautiful. That's wisdom of today. That's some wisdom of today. I may give you some more tomorrow. Yes. Of the wisdom of today. I love things like that, don't you? Well, I am truly glad to be with you, even though we were a little sad, but, you know, God works everything out all right. We want you to continue to pray for Deacon Mike, continue to pray for him. He had shunts put in his heart yesterday, and they supposed to let him out today, praise God. So we thank God that, you know, they're working on it. They're working on him, and, you know, constantly. And so we looking for him to be his usual self after he's finished. All we can say is Michael is Michael. Praise God, hallelujah. But it sounds like it's nothing. Have you ever heard that? You know, it sounds like nothing, don't it? Well, they act like it's nothing. But let me tell you, something is going on in our world. The food we eat, or something is going on. I never seen in the hospital, there's so many people there getting the same kind of work done on them. It was a line like you was in the welfare line. The people were lined up there. And listen, these doctors have to be professionals. I mean, the doctor was late. All the people stand up there. And he come in and he just, who's number one, two, three? And he go to down the line, whoever was one, and keep on going. I mean, just like assembly line. Now, that's bad when you got something wrong with your heart that kind of way, and they got you on the assembly line. Okay. Man, we need to check something out here. Okay, God. Where's your God? What's happening here? What's going on? You know, can anybody ask that question sometime? Will you ask that question sometime? You know, to see all that, I was sitting there seeing this thing, and I just couldn't believe all these people. Gee, it's at one time, I mean, one nine, then here and there, over here in this hospital, over in that hospital, you know, whole lineup one time was there, getting that, some kind of the procedure done on their heart. My God. So how's your heart today? How's your heart? All right. Let's straighten our hearts out right now. All right. That's what we really need to do. Straighten our hearts. I'm just talking about it. You know, just talking about it, you know, giving us something to think about with these things that are going on, okay? And I just don't want to go that way, do you? I'm going to try not to go that way. Oh, that makes my whole blood boil just thinking about it. But, you know, these things do happen, people. They happen, okay? So don't take life for granted, okay, that everything is all right. I ain't going to get it done. Well, now, do you believe God? How much do you believe God? Do you trust him? If he told you don't do it and the doctor say do it, which one are you going to do? Huh?
Come on now.
Now, just think about it now. You, it's your choice. Which one are you going to do? Are you trusting him enough to say no, or are you not trusting to say, well, I'm going with what the doctors say? You see, you can't easily come with a solution to something like that unless you know beyond a shadow of doubt where you are in God. Amen. All right, somebody. Hallelujah, anyhow. And let me tell you, when the devil don't stop just touching your body, you know that, don't you? He gets in men's affairs. He gets in their politics. He gets in their religion. He gets in everything. Huh? He's in one house to the other. He's in the church house, the White House, the Black House, the Green House, huh? In the schoolhouse. He's in everybody's house tending to their business. See? Now, are you going to get him out today? Well, I sure hope so. Praise God. We're going to get together and get this devil out of there. Yeah, we just tired of him taking over. Aren't you tired of him taking over? I am. Praise God. Time I look, something is going on. Well, praise God. God is so good to me. I tell you, I'm still thanking him. A little tired from being there all day, the hospital all day. But, you know, nevertheless, I'm good. As Sister Diane said, I'm good. I'm good. Yes, I am. I'm good. Oh, Lord. Well, I've been through these things before, so. You know, I understand how they work. I've been through them before, sitting in the hospital days at a time. One time I was in there for about every day in the week I was there. You know, sitting with my children. They were my children, of course. That's who they were. Bless God. My. Ha. Yeah, but God gave me strength then, and he gave me a little bit more strength now. You see? So that's why I'm good. Ooh, hallelujah. I wouldn't want you to go through it now. You may not be able to take it like me, okay? Because, hey, I'm a winner. Can you say that today? I'm a winner. Hey, I win every time. See, you say, why are you saying that these things happen to you and your children? Listen. Let me tell you, God inoculated me into this when my children was young. My son was 3 years old when I started to spend time at the hospital. I know it sounds like I'm in prison, don't it? Spend time at the hospital. Ooh, yes. I did a lot of time there. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I'm still alive. Whoo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. See, that was nothing. You know what was the best thing about the whole thing? Each time I did, God showed his wondrous hands. Miracles were happening. Did you see what I'm saying? That's why I'm happy, because I know each time that I have to spend that time there for any of my children or whatever way it happens, the thing is this, I have a chance to see a miracle happen. Hello. That's worth everything, all the crying and oh, Lord, and all of that. It's worth everything because God shows me that he with me and he performs a miracle and get them out. Huh? They go to jail, he formed a miracle there too and got them out. Hey, I had to trust him in each place. Do you see what I'm saying? These are what I'm going to talk about a little bit today, a warrior. We're going to talk about these warriors today, huh? And when you're a warrior, you can go through what? Anything. You can go through anything. All right, let's start. I'm starting in the book of Chronicles. First Chronicles, where I'm starting. And I'll be reading a bit here and talking to you about it, because I believe that we can win every battle. Did you hear that? I believe that today. We can. But we're just going to give you a little background scripture for that. Bless God. Amen. So you bear with me. I'm just going to start here. My eyes fell on something ahead of what I was going to read at the beginning, but something else I want to say, read here in the First Chronicles, the 12th chapter, and I want to start here at the 20th verse. I think I'm going to start at 21st verse, okay? And it says, as he went to Ziklag, there fell to him of Manasseh, Ammoni, Jehozabad, Jedidiah, Michael, and Jehoz, and Eliah, and Ziplah, all these names, captains of the thousands that were of Manasseh. And they helped David against the band of the rovers. You got any rovers in your life? You need some help now. Why is it that today when you try to help someone, they say they don't need no help? Huh? Well, I got all the help I need. This is what people tell you when you try to help people. Or you may have one of them independent people that says, I don't need no help, because they don't want nobody to help them. They don't want you to think about them not having strength or, you know, the know-how to do whatever they know how to do. To me, it's only pride. That's what I would call it, okay? But you may have a band of rovers. For they were almighty men of the Lord. and were captains in the host. Do you have any those high-powered people in your life? Come on now. You got them there now? Do you have them in your life? Think about it now. Count the people. Sit down for a time. Take time. Don't be so busy about whatever your business is. And start reviewing your life and find out who it is that's in my life. And what is their purpose in my life? Find that out too. Okay? Ask God. Ask God. He'll tell you. The next verse says, for at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him. See? There came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God. They begin to mount up. Huh? Now, why am I using this scripture here today? Because of the fact is this. I've heard many people do this, put people down because they don't have a whole lot of people working with them. One thing about it, I would say it, and I say it constantly, is that, listen, you only need a few to work with you if you got some folks that are committed, huh, loyal, faithful, committed to the vision, okay? And anyway, the Bible say, what did Jesus say? If two of you, two working with you, you got two people with you, huh? And then he said, where two or three is, he'll be there. He say two or three working with you, right? He going to be in the midst. And then he told you if they agree with you, you're agreeing on the same thing, he's going to be there and he's going to help you. He's going to move. You got the majority. Do you get it? Mm-hmm. So this scripture, as we're going to show you through this scripture today, is that the church world today, they only want to get involved if there's a whole lot of people around. Now, why I don't know, they want to get involved. They think that is the most successful church is the one that is mega, a medium mega, a small mega. Whichever way, you know, you count them. But God, according to the leaders and the one that he's given the vision to, this is what he does. He is not about numbers. It's either he's by many or few. That's what he says. He's saved by many or by few. So stop trying to judge people. You're not of God. Your ministry is not of God because you don't have no people. Well, they say no people. They call no people 12 people. They call no people. You know that, don't you? Have you seen that? And naturally, sometime it will get to you and you'll start worrying God. But God, why come I don't have no more people? And I've been standing and doing this and that and other, working for you and sacrificing and just everything, you know, for you, Lord. And this all the people is here. Well, listen here. Be happy. You got them. But make sure they get into the kingdom. Huh? Teach them the right way of God. Do you understand? Don't try to copy people because you want a crowd. Now, that's for free. Huh? Don't cost you nothing. But why are you doing it? Why you keep saying it? And when you see people, you know immediately what they're saying in their mind because their countenance tells you what is going on. Do you get it? But I'm so glad that God don't care. You know, in the days when it's, the flood came, how many he saved? Eight souls. Eight. Do you see? Did he care about all them millions of people that drowned? Huh? He didn't sit up and say, well, let me get some more out of there. Well, all of them that drowned was unbelievers. Are you going to be in the crowd? And the crowd could be a crowd of people, and everybody's living a hellish life. Okay? But you want to be with the crowd. And then what do? You start taking on whatever the crowd is doing, you start doing. So you do what? You chop down your standards. You whittle them down to their side. See? This is what you do. This is what I see people doing all the time. They go over there, then they start changing. Huh? They don't take what they were getting in the, what say kind of small church. They 100 is small. 75 is very small to them. It don't matter how many it is, huh? Jesus want them saved. Want them to be what? His sons. They. Come on now. I'm going to try to go on a little bit further. Yes. Now, you got to understand, you are important, and you're even more important as a warrior. Did you know that? Now, think about David, the one little David God called. Saul was mad because David had it and he didn't. See? He was not God's choice in the first place, but let me tell you, he was mad. He could have done more than he did, but he chose the way of sin, to do things through sin, than the righteousness of God. See, what do you choose? What kind of people are around you? What kind of people you want to hang with? Who you want to be your friend? You want to be with the big guys, with all the big money. Half of them doing damnable little things. Huh? You don't know what them people, how they live. Huh? Until God unveils it. See? You don't know. All you're looking at is the money. You're looking at the prestige. Oh, they know. Look what's happening in the White House, huh? All these prestigious people with these big titles and pockets full of money. You're admiring them, and, oh, I want to be next to them, and I want to hobnob with them. I want to party with them. What happened, huh? They are kingdoms coming down, huh? God is pulling the cover off of them that you can see the real person that everybody want to be next to. You got crazy women want to lay with them because they was important. You got church people want to hobnob with them because they're important. Then you got big-time church people that some of the leading people in the world want to be next to. And then when the boom fall down, when everything fall down, what happened? You get what? Name with them, don't you? You're just like them is what they say. Then what? All of the focus go on you. But now if you had a followed God in the first place and then hang with the Sauls of the world, stop trying to hobnose, rub nose, and everything else with the ones you thought was the cream. You can get somewhere. But no, you don't want to be ostracized. You don't want to be called, I'm not cooperative. Well, call me what you want to call me. It doesn't have to be true just because you said it. Huh? It becomes true when I submit to it and you see it. But if you don't see me, you know what? You just lying. Talking off the top of your head. This is what he said.
And the 23rd verse says, and these are the numbers of the bands that were ready, armed to walk. Now let me show you in the numbers bracket. Now we are working in the numbers bracket. Letting you know, God letting you know, and you want us to realize who we are. Here's where he numbered. Armed to war. They was ready and armed to war. And came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. Now, the kingdom was already David. God has already ordained him to have the kingdom. Saul was just there temporarily because that's what the people wanted. See, God ain't about what the people want, huh? It's what he wants. Do you get the picture? Come on now. He set that out there because the people cried and wailed and moaned and groaned and complained and everything. So he gave them what they asked for. But he did not leave them without knowing what kind of leader they was getting. Same as us today here in America. We were shown, we were told what kind of leader that was coming, but yet you did the Saul thing. You cried out, give us the king, give us the man with the money. And you see what you got. You see, you got your Saul. Now you want to blame everybody because you choose Saul. You want to put the blame on everybody else. I'm just trying to talk to you now. God believes in you if you let him. All right, we're going to 24th verse. The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready, armed to war. You see? Now, each one of these tribes, I'm going to show you, each one of these tribes had a specific number of armed warriors. They were very important to God. They were ready warriors. They were ready. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, you know, I know you want to say, but listen, those are thousands, and they had thousands, okay, but some of them didn't have that many. Each person had a different number, but what happened? What's the thing that they had alike? They were armed warriors, armed for war. They were ready to fight. Are you? The next would say, of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for the war, 7,100. 7,100. See, Simeon, that's what he had. What do you suppose God do? He give you what you can handle. What you can handle effectively. You will have a great, what shall we say? You will have a great harvest from that which is given you to handle. But the fact is, we want to handle everybody else's business but our own. Come on, somebody, tell me, talk to me now. Or we got somebody around telling us, well, you know, you ought to have more than that. I always have to give you an example. Sometimes we got a young man that was, I guess, kind of off the street a little bit, and got him in the church, and he started being in church, and every week he's right there playing his guitar. He wasn't no good guitar player now. He couldn't play, but he had one tune, plunk, 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 and we just clapped hands and praised God and encouraged him. Along come a young lady, ain't nothing but a Jezebel, come along to the church and come in there and saw the man, and they happened to be, the woman happened to be single,
and he was single too. But the fact is, she seen him, and then she started talking to him, and he thought he a girl like me, you know, blah, 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 and went on and so forth. And all of a sudden, she began to fill his head and told him, you're to be getting paid for playing. Now, not the man ain't no but one note, okay? One note, he plunked it. And she began to fill his head that he should be paid and get in a bigger church. And, oh, you got so much promise and all that. And she promised him herself, too. So, you know me. I said, baby, don't listen to that propaganda. I said, honey, she just talking to you. You ain't ready for that. Not yet. You ain't been long, got saved. So now how you already ready to go out there and conquer the world and be Benny King or somebody? Huh? You ain't ready for that. She kept on and kept on and pulled the man out, okay? Right on out of church. After he got out there and he wasn't saved no more and she seen the real him, she dumped him. You see what I'm saying? You wouldn't listen. You wanted what you wanted when you wanted it. Not what God is saying. Not what God got for you. God more than likely got a better plan for you than that one you got, because your plans is just frivolous. We have them frivolous plans. You got it. You know you do. Huh? But you want it when you want it. And to make the long story short, the young man got out there, then he found out, you know, nobody wouldn't even let him in their church or nothing and everything else. He started back on his drugs and everything. And then he called us and, you know, won't somebody come get it. Well, nah, hey, he was way in somewhere, some other state, and we ain't coming to go get you now. You're going to have to find your way back if you want to come. But find your church to get into, somewhere where somebody can help you. And learn this out of all of that. Stop listening to the devil with all of their plans. Do you see what I'm saying? We listen to the wrong people all the time. Why is it that we just choose to listen? Do it sound better? I think that the lies sound better than the truth, don't it? I know it do. My God, my God. But let me tell you, God is still waiting for you. Stop judging numbers. You need to be in a church. If you ain't in no church, you need to find one to get into. And stop sitting up and say, God, you should ask this, God, is this the right church I should be in? And let God help you there. But don't get in there, well, how many people in there? Ain't enough people in there. But you get in there, you'll be added to it. I still say that. I know I'm going to get rebuked, but that's okay too. Stop doing that. You see what I'm saying? Now, check this out. 26 now. Of the children of Levi, 4,600. See, it's a little less, huh? You see? But guess what? They were still warriors. They were warriors and they knew who they were. All right? And the next thing, and Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. God placed these numbers in here for a reason, to let you know. You know, whatever he called you to do, the assignment that he's given you, he gave you enough warriors to handle whatever plan is laid out for you. Do you get the picture here? You have it. See, we are caught up today in visualization. What we see. We want to see 100,000 people. We want to see 25,000 over here, you know. Then we count those people as successful, and we say that is not a great harvest over there, so I will not associate with them. See, we got all these things going, not looking at the fact that they are armed and dangerous. They are God's warriors, ready for anything. And not knowing, regardless of how many it is, not knowing that they have what? They will win every battle. They are overcomers. They overcome every obstacle. They overcome adversities. They overcome you. See, in your ideas. And then when you look at some, when you start figuring it out, I don't want to go over here, I don't want to associate with this, and it gets me, it bothers me, you have to pray for me, I need you to pray for me now. It bothers me when people begin to say, we're not going to fellowship with them because they ain't got enough people. Well, you don't have but 10. You got 10, I got 12, and he over there may have 3. Why can't we fellowship one with another? What is the problem? And don't say if you got 3,500 people, oh, you're definitely not coming over there because ain't enough people. What about the word of God? Didn't God say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Or did he tell you to count every creature and then preach to them? You can't preach unless you got a great stadium full of people. Then you're not much of a preacher, then, are you? Huh? God didn't tell you to do that. He said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and to every creature. Now, if you're going to preach to every creature, now, you are a warrior that God has chosen. And he chose you to win, huh? You can go here and win one and go over to another place and win about 101 or more. See, we have these this is facts. But we want to bring them into the church and cause division in the church and having people look at their preacher saying, the preacher ain't nothing, the preacher ain't got no life in all of this. You ain't got no life because you're supposed to bring some with you. Hello. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. He wants you, and as I read, you're going to see how God measured all this in this same scripture. We're going to show you how God measured it, okay? How about that? Let's read on. Praise God. Now, and Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites. We said that, didn't we? 3,000. Zodak, a young man, mighty of the Lord, and he had 22 and of his father's house, 22 captains. They didn't say how many men he had, but he said 2 captains. So those are the ones he could count on. Those was the mighty warriors in the bunch, people that was armed with war, those that was ready for battle. See, we got a whole lot of people in these houses of God today, but they ain't ready for no battle. As soon as the battle get hot, they run and hide. Oh, they gone. They God, I'll be good. Hallelujah. They running high. Huh? How are you going to go into all the world and preach the gospel? You go to Africa, it's hot. Like in a furnace. Some of them other countries. The sun beams down very, very hot in those places. And I ain't going because I ain't got no air. I ain't going because I'm going to have to stay in a hut. Did he tell you everywhere you go you're going to have comfort? I have a problem. We want comfort everywhere because we've been spoiled. We've been so spoiled that I want air conditioning. I want a 4-5-star hotel to live in. I want this and that. And I want my 5-star restaurant. I want to eat out every day. You coming for a party. You're not coming to bring the word of God. You want to have you one of them fabulous parties. God didn't tell you to come and socialize. He told you to come and preach the gospel. And, you know, the ladies, the one that won that, you know, everybody got to have their playing field here and there. Well, what happened to the saints of old? All of Paul and all of them, they walk where they want to. Nobody say, Paul, they called Paul the Macedonian. Come over here and help me. Say, but I'll send you a horse fare. Huh? They came because they loved God and they wanted to preach the gospel of Christ. They, we have a price on everything, on preaching the gospel. Hmm? Where's your faith? Where's the faith? Hmm? No, there's no faith. Today you don't need to have faith. Just say, give me a plane ticket, my hotel, and all that. You ain't got to have no faith. And people are getting mad with some of the preachers that came through the channels of faith to be where they are. They left by faith. They believed God and just went where God sent them at. Now, grant you, some changes have been made with them. They making all the money, but why is I got to pay you so much, this much money, and you got more money than I got? I need the gospel that you preaching, and I need you to come over and teach somebody else the same gospel. Now, you won't. You making millions of dollars every time you open your mouth wherever you go. Why can't you come over there to the pole number 2 church with ain't got but 3 people? And don't be looking for some money. I know you're mad, but ain't nobody mad but the devil. Now, he did say money's a necessary thing. It's necessary. You got 2 or 3 million, maybe more, in your bank account. Now, why do you want me to do all that if you are to go into the whole world and preach the gospel? See, these things, what I'm asking questions about, these things is what worries me, is why is it like that? Why you want to charge? You say, it's no charge, it's an honorarium, huh? To give you $50,000 just to come preach, that's a mighty big honorarium. Somebody could buy a house that living outside, huh? Homeless. See? Stop judging folks by how many people they got. Because if they ask you to come, well, I can't come. How many people you got? Because somebody did ask me that. I ain't going to say who. A celebrity did tell me. Well, how many people you got? I said, I got enough. How many you want? Well, I need at least 100. I said, your name by itself will get more than 100. So why are you worried about how many I already got? And you know they didn't come, right? And you know I told them, don't worry about it. I'm gone. Hello. You see? Because it doesn't make sense to me. You know, that don't make sense. Maybe I'm just dumb, you know, or something. I know you can call me whatever you want to call me, but, you know, that's the way things are. That's the way I feel now. If you feel different, that's up to you. Okay. You got a different aspect of it. That's the only way we can make money. You making the money. Somebody giving it to you. If you got so many $1 million in there, somebody giving you money. But I'm not going to lay with the devil just to get some money. Do you get it? Hmm. And you don't need to be either. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And of the children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000. For hither the great this part of them had kept the ward of the house of Saul. He's giving you information about him. But he only had what? 3,000. Benjamin. Tribe of Benjamin. Mm-hmm. And of the children of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. Now we're getting into big time. Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men. Mighty men. What are you hanging around with? You cannot win because you just hanging around somebody that you think is big time. Oh, I want to get what they got. I want to get to know what they know. That's okay. Every book is not for you. Every how-to book, it doesn't work for you. See? May work for a few, but it may not work for you. God may have something else for you to do. We leave out God in everything we do. When we think we can go with the how-to books, it's good to learn. I like learning. I like reading, and I like learning. I like these things. But don't get stuck on these things and say, well, I'm going to do it like this here preacher here did, and look how many millions of dollars he got. That don't mean you're going to get the same thing. See? Get your own stuff, whatever God told you, so that you get your own millions and write your own book. Stop trying to follow somebody else. See? You're trying to follow a person you think is big. Because you want to be big. Isn't that what it is? That's all it is. But listen, that's not a key to winning every battle. Huh? That's not a key to winning every battle. Because that person is big, I'm going to be big because I'm socialized. Oh, I want to be seen with them. I had that syndrome one time. But God put a stop to it in my life. I had opportunities to be among them, work with some of them. I won't name no name, but one said to me, you come over and work with me, and, you know, I says, okay, I'm a pastor now. What am I going to be when I get with you? You know, he couldn't tell me what I'm going to be with, but I found out, you know, they were Caucasians and I was black, and they wanted some black people. So that's what he wanted me for. I said, well, I'm very sorry. I can't oblige. Okay? Now you want me to give up my ministry for you. And what is you promising me? Just to sit there? And look dumb. Now that didn't even make sense. Now did that make sense? You tell me if that made sense. That didn't even make no sense. He could have kept that. God, excuse me. Sometimes I get involved. You know, you talk to people and they talk crazy stuff. And you just, Jesus, help them, Lord. Help them, Lord. And of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, just a half of his tribe. You hear that? 18,000 were expressed by name to come and make David king. This is a special force. A special force of people. See, God chose all these people. You notice he called some of them, captains, and, you know, he expressed they were well-known, and God calls all kinds of people to his fold. And you can't sit up and just because there's a number here, a number there. Oh, there's a great number there. Look at there, look at there, look at there, this and look at that. You looking at the wrong thing. Do you? You don't hear them say, "Look at Jesus." See, sometime you may hear somebody say, "Man, God is so working in here. Oh, God is really working in this person's ministry. Oh, yes, 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 God is working." Now that is something to long for. Do you get it? That is something to long for, the presence of God. Doesn't matter whether it's 10, 12, 3, 4, or 2. Long as there's the presence of God there. Do you get the picture? The presence of God there. This is what we're looking for. You need today. You need your zigzag experience. You need to go to zigzag today where it's going on. Okay, because David got to be king. Now, you know, he had lots of, he was always the one doing the help. Let me tell you, when you read the story about David, he was always the one giving help to other people, giving help to this, that, and the other. But God called him to be a king while he was out there having a little job nobody really wanted. Out there tending to the sheeps and stuff. You know, he wanted it. He wanted, God wanted him because he was special, because he didn't argue. He didn't complain about the job he had. You know how some of the people in your church, whoever I'm talking to today in your church, they complain about everything. Huh? Everything is being complained about. That's why you can't get nothing done, because of complainers. Now, you remember now, God had to wipe out all that tribe of complainers when he crossed, when he came through that, they brought him through that wilderness. He had to wipe all them jokers out because they did nothing but complain. Hmm? They complain. Are you one of them, Kat? David, these men came to do what? They came to make David king. Okay, God done called him, so therefore they knew that God had put a new king in the place of Saul. So David was it. So they came to put him in that position. God, I guess they were just tired of Saul and his stuff. You'll get tired too sometime. He said, of the children of Israel, Issachar, I'm sorry, which were men that had understanding of the times to the know what Israel ought to do. See, the people, the men of Issachar, they understood what it was. They knew what it was. Huh? And they knew what should be done. Hmm. They knew what time it was. Do you know what time it was? Have you come to Hebron, have you been through Ziklag? Have you been through the wilderness? In other words, have you been through the process? Has that enemy chased you all over the place? Do you went and hid? Now it's time for you to come out now. Today is your day for you to come out. Come out now. See, the heads of them were 200. And all their brethren were at their commandment. Now, these men, Issachar, you know, they had a great task to do here. Now it's come time, how are we going to put David into position here? All right? Now, David helped everybody. Now it's time for us to help him. Do you ever see that with your pastor, wherever you are? Huh? My pastor, oh, pastor, I need my lights paid. Oh, pastor, I need, and don't put no money in church. Don't pay tithes. Don't give no offerings. Don't do nothing. Don't help out. You're always crying. I can't make it because my leg hurt. I can't make it because my son tooth hurt and I got to take him to the tennis or something. You always got an excuse or something, but you want God to move when you want him to move. Now, when are you going to help that same church that you're in? When you going to help them? and stop complaining about, well, you know, they didn't want to pay my light bill. I thought the church supposed to help people. Well, you're supposed to sow too. So they'll have some money in there to help you, in the storehouse to help you. Hello. Come on now. Think about it now. Just think about that. Hmm? I'm getting there. Hmm? I'm getting there, okay? Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, experts in war. Now, Zebulun was an expert in war. Sometimes you do have an expert in the midst, don't you? With all instruments of war, he had everything together. 50,000. Now, listen, there were 200. See, ought to do. The heads of them were 200 in up there with Issachar, right? But we get down here to Zebulun. When they went to war, with them instruments, he had 50,000, which could keep, listen, this is what I want you to hear, which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. Do you hear what happened? Out of all the people that had these warriors, they had warriors here, there, all different number of warriors. We come down to Zebulun. Zebulun had 50,000 warriors that could keep rank, keep in step, keep with the vision. And they didn't have no double mind and no double heart. They were fully committed. Do you get the picture? Amen, amen. Fully committed. Can you get and stay in rank? Can you march with the rest of the warriors? Can you march with them? Will you march with them? Let's ask a question today. Will you march with them? I need somebody to get in the rank now. Stand up and be counted among them that are sanctified. Don't be double-minded. Don't have a double heart. Today I love you, tomorrow I don't. Today I'm with you and tomorrow I'm not. And that is sickening. You got a band. You're trying to train this army of people for battle, and here go the Jezebels and coming out, and all the Satanists coming out and putting little tickle in the ears and telling them little things to do this and don't do that, cause of this and cause of that. The thing is, they listen. Then they fall out of rank, don't they? Come on now. So their heart was not right with God. They didn't have the heart right with God. If you ever watch their feet, or the feet of an army that's in rank, that keep marching, you just hear the army, navy, or whoever, they don't allow you to break rank. And you better be in order. You better be able to go with the 1-2 hip, 1-2 hip, 1-2. You better be able to keep up. Don't you gonna do what? Be put in the jail, put in irons. That's what you do. In the church, you gotta keep rank. Do what you are supposed to do. Do what God called you to do. Do what you put your name on the book and say, I can do so-and-so, Pastor, and I'm willing to if you, you know, if it's okay with you. Okay, don't just jump up and start to try to do something. And you ain't okay with the pastor. They're going to sit you down. Then you're going to be mad. See, you just broke rank. And when you get mad about something the pastor tell you to do, you breaking rank. Because we're supposed to work together Everybody's supposed to work together and follow what the leader said that has the vision. Not get off on your own. See, we break rank. They want to blame everybody in town that for breaking rank. And, well, the pastor just didn't understand me. They ain't got no life, and they can't, just don't know what to do. They dumb. You didn't tell that you broke rank. Follow orders. Every soldier has to follow orders. See? You ain't going to be no soldier and don't follow orders now. Do your own thing. So you might as well understand. You're talking about, and you're just singing, I'm the Joshua generation. You're no Joshua generation. You can't follow orders. Your marching orders are there. It's time to go. It's time for battle. These men of war, they were ready for battle. They stayed ready. They didn't get ready today and out tomorrow. Well, I ain't got time today because I got this to do and I got that to do. In the army, your time is not your own. In the army of the Lord, your time is not your own. Come on now. You may not like it tight, but it's right anyhow. All right, I'll go on a little further. Then of Naphtali, 1,000 captains, and with them, with shield and spear, 37,000. The captains, huh? He had 1,000 captains, Naphtali. And they all had their shield and spear, 37,000 warriors. Did you? Now, that's an army. Did you hear that? And these people ain't breaking rank. Do you get it? Huh? Come on now. Talk to me. You see it? Come on. And of the Danites, expert in war, 28,600. I know we wish we had the 600, don't we? Praise God. Hallelujah. 20 and 8,000. See, each one of them, they were prepared for war. They were in order. They were in the, each one of them held their ranks. You know, army captain, sergeants, or whatever. They all were standing at attention, ready. Are you? Are you, no matter how many there is, stop trying to break rank because they ain't yet. Well, we need some more soldiers. Yes, we do. But if you don't have but however many you have, don't let that sweat you and stop you from marching in the army and keeping rank and always being ready. And of Asher, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, 40,000. See, God got a whole lot of them experts too, didn't he? They had some experts. Some of them got experts in war. They good negotiators, huh? They knew how to negotiate. They knew what to do, when to do. And the Bible says on the other side of Jordan, of the Reubenites and the Gadites, and of the half tribe of Manasseh, with all manner of instruments of war for the battle, and 120,000. 120,000. Oh, this wall getting heavy, ain't it? The wall getting heavy. See, God didn't care about numbers. He just wanted what? He wants you to do what he called you to do. You be ready for battle. When the enemy come and he got you around bickering over, well, this ain't enough. We should get this minute. We should have this one. This one should be captain and that one shouldn't. And you be bickering over all these non-essentials. And what is happening? You're going to miss out and you're going to lose the battle. And you cannot say that I win every battle every time because you stopped broke rank and start bickering. See what I'm talking about? We can't do that today, saints. And this is what the church world is doing. We're bickering over from one thing. We used to bicker over, should we wear a hat when we pray? Should we come to church with a hat on? Should we wear long dresses? Should we not wear pants? Should we not wear jewelry? Should we not do this and do that and do the other? And so a lot, most people done away with all of that, but then they took on the spirit of a harlot. Now they don't wear hardly nothing. The dress is heist up over their hind parts, and their pants is tighter than a rubber band, showing all the goods, arms and chest out, showing all of what they got upstairs, because they want to look fine. The dress is so tight in the back, you know every cellulite in your hind parts. So you went from one thing to the other. You went to the extremes. You was in the extreme. You did, well, look, you got to have a hat on when you pray. You got to have a this, that, that. You got to do this. You can't do that. You can't do that. Then you went around. You can do it. Now everybody's doing it and going to the extreme. See? Think about it. What war are you fighting? You're not fighting a war. You're just coming forth showing people your Jezebel spirit, man or woman. You're showing forth your Jezebel spirit. Showing everything. Where's your heart? Now look at this verse. This would be your focal point here. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebrew to make David king of all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. These are people that did what? These men of war? They could keep rank. Now, if you count up all these millions of people, all the men of war that each one of these tribes had, there would be millions, wouldn't it? See? But the Bible says all of them, all the men of war that could keep rank. Do you notice that could keep rank? There was nobody there that couldn't keep rank because they were already out and they were dead walking. You get the picture? This is what God requires for you to win every battle. Be men and women, I have to put the women in, because men and women of war, those that can keep rank, those can keep up. Let's say, you know, today people get tired. They are tired. And rightfully so. If the people get tired, you know the preacher's tired. When they come in, he got to preach the same people. Every time he go there, he got to preach the same people. That's tiring. And then they stop listening. You see? Because they want to know when there's going to be a change. Praise God. Ain't nobody supposed to be here but me and you. Bless God. See? But don't you think you need to have that perfect heart right about now? We going to Hebron right now. We going there. Yes, in the name of Jesus, we going there. God got a king, and that's Jesus. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every one of the rest of the people, even the ones that did not keep the rank, they had one heart at least. That means they were not bickering. David's not saying, well, you know, he ain't doing so-and-so and she ain't doing this. You know, we got a lot of that going on. Always looking at somebody else, talking about what they not doing. What are you doing? I know people say it sounds like I'm harsh or something, cold. I'm a factual. The fact is, why are you trying to figure out what they're not doing? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Stop trying to mind other people's business. Huh? This is what we do. We mind other people's business too much. Huh? Mind your own. Stay in your lane. Hmm? Keep rank with the rest of your warriors, the rest of the warriors in your army, those in your pavilion, how you call it? Battalion, that's it, that's the word, battalion. Stay with them. March with them. Hmm? Be as one, one voice and one sound. Huh? See? And you ever seen them troops was in Hitler Day or whoever that was, and when they walked, you only heard sound like one giant footstep, because they were all in rank and everyone put their foot down the same time, and it sounded thunderous. God want us as one. We march as one. That's why he said one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. It ain't but one. But we want to make it many. Hmm? This is why we have so much confusion and drama in the church. Huh? Because everybody's out of order. And they, you know, the Bible says, a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. They are ordered by the Lord. He's ordering you today to do what? Stay in rank. Don't jump out. Don't jump out because you got a friend. You've been hobnobbing with a friend out in the world, and they tell you, you don't want to be over there. You ought to come over here with me where I am. Where you at? Over in club night? Swinging it? Twerking? Hmm? But you ought to be here so you can be rich. I am rich because the Bible said, Jesus said, I came that you may be rich. See, and I received him when he came, so he made me rich. See, now you may not think I'm rich, but listen, I think this. Every time he make a way out of nowhere for me, when it don't look like there's no way, when I ain't got no money and the money come, let me tell you one thing. I'm rich. Huh? Every time I ain't got to go get a bank loan, and then what you got to pay them back is, whoa, God, way more than you borrowed from them. You see? But I'm rich. See, you don't call me rich because you can't see nothing. I don't got no money to give you, but I can pray for you. You look at rich different than I do. But I'm rich because of Jesus. He did die for me, and he rose again for me also. The third day. Thought I'd throw that in. And I'll read the rest of that scripture just to show you can hear, you know, this. And there they were with David 3 days, eating, drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Oh, they had a party time. Now, it came to a party. There come a celebration. After God put it all together, have you ever noticed he said he came that your joy may remain and that it may be full? He didn't say he didn't want you to have joy. He didn't say he didn't want you to rejoice and be happy and be glad. That's why he came, that you can get rid of all that past junk that's been cluttering you. It clutters your mind. It clutters your heart. It clutters your spirit. You cannot stay in rank because you're clanking like a rub board in a tub with no water. I thought I better tell you now. See? For their brethren had prepared for them. He prepared a great feast for them. They had a feast. Do you see? All the now that's some food to be prepared, isn't it? For millions of people. And they were celebrating. Our king is coming. Can we celebrate today? Our king is come. Well, we celebrate Easter. We all call it Easter, the resurrection. We celebrated the resurrection, right? Yes, we did. Now, see, I know it wasn't too popular because most people didn't understand why I chose that message. You know, I had it for another time, but, you know, it, well, mitigating circumstances proved where I couldn't do it at that other time that I did, but I did it when I could because I needed you to know, you know, you can always begin again. You have a whole lot of beginnings in your life. Something is always ending and something is always beginning. Do you see? Because when you're a warrior, you're winning every time. No matter what battle you have to face, no matter what adversary you have to face, all your things you're in, a situation, dramas or what have you, God is always going to give you a beginning because he's going to end it. Trouble don't last always. And if you can remember that, and this too shall pass. You talk to that situation, say, this too shall pass.
Yes, Lord.
And then you can sing your song, my soul look back and wonder how I got over. You didn't say if I got over. You say how I got over. In other words, I made it over. You know, so now I'm ready for the feast.
Yes, Lord.
Tell somebody, say, I'm ready for the feast. He said, moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on, well, they had a whole train of animals loaded with food. They needed it for all them people, didn't they? On asses and on camels, on mules and on oxen and meat, meal, cakes of figs, bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly. For there was joy in Israel. Hey, hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you get it, huh? You win every battle. There is enough word here today to let you know that you are the winning warrior. You ain't no warrior that don't never win. Huh? You win every battle and you don't even realize it because you don't take time to pay attention. Oh, when you start complaining, you can't see what you've already won. Huh? Now, just because you didn't win the lotto or that, you know, what is that little thing, that money coming in the mail, that $7,000 a week, publishing clearing house, just because you didn't win that, you figure that I'll never win nothing. You win every day. You got life. You wake up and you got life in you. You are the winner still. There's always, let me leave this with you today, there's always the possibility of a winning ticket. That winning ticket is your life, your strength, and your right mind, and your soul still hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That means in this story you find unity and pure heart is the main cause here. All this, these great armies that was presented here, they had unity because they were all prepared for war. And while they were prepared for the war, they were what? Doers of the word. See, I will give you, let me tell you, I got eight keys I wrote down here that you can win these wars. Of course, the first one is you got to realize your importance as a warrior. You got to realize that. That's number one. Number two is unity in a pure heart. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And number three is, of course, God's love. Number four is be a doer of the word of God. You got to be a doer. Now you heard the word. You heard this word today. And you got to be a doer of that word. Prepare yourself for war. Listen. Five is listen to the voice of God. Listen to it. Don't be so prone to listen to yourself all the time, because you talk to yourself a whole lot. But now we want you to tune yourself out and listen to the voice of God. Now, I don't know how God talked to you, just exactly how he talked to you. I know how he talked to me. But you've got to know God's voice for yourself and listen to it. Number six is believe and know that God will send forth your angels. The angels to bring you, to bring you out of darkness, to bring you out of whatever you're in, the dramas you're in, you're in so much trouble, and I wish, you'd be wishing, but forget the wish, because this ain't a wish book. You just pray, have faith, and believe. Believe what the Bible says. And seven is he gives you the power to do what? You can upset this apricot. In other, the devil's apricot, all you do is pull down the strongholds. He said, and everything that exalts itself against God, you know it's talking against God. You know that person is telling you to do something that God told you to do, and then they telling you not. It's exalting itself against God. What God is saying and trying to make it to be none avail to you. So you pull it down, put it down, step on it, put it in the garbage, put it in the incinerator. Make sure it don't come back no more. And the eighth thing is fasting. Fasting. Now I know David Knowles was celebrating. They were celebrating. They celebrated. They had a feast. You see all that stuff they had there to eat? They had enough for everybody. Probably had some left over. But they had a lot. And God will give you a lot too. Okay? But what do you got to do though? You got to do what? Obey God. Obey his word. Hear his voice. Listen to it. And hear it. And be a doer of what you hear. Don't just say, well, you know, God said. God said, but he mean what? Do. Right? Come on, talk to me now. That's what he got to do for you. He said, but he wants you to do what he said. When he told you to go ye into all the world, don't be getting up and talking, well, I don't want to be like this big priest and all of this. You can't say that. Be you. You. That's the best person you can be, you. And what God gave you to do. Stay on your assignment. Because I can still tell you this, there is a war going on, and it's for your soul. Satan is trying everything he can to steal your soul. So remember, you're always prepared. And stop judging people by what you see them do. Someone tell me, don't judge at all. You know, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. So you don't have to judge them or nothing. Well, they just ain't got there yet. Hello. Just remember, you can win every battle, but you got to do what? Those eight things would be preferably for you to do. And remember, it ain't in the number. It's in the quality of people that's been to, that's at Hebron. Huh? You done went through Ziglag and all them other little countries you done hear that. But now you're in Hebron where it's coming down to the brass tacks where you are the victor. Ah, hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That was an awesome word coming from Apostle Porter. I tell you, all you got to do is just go ahead after this broadcast. You can go right back ahead and you can tune in to blogtalkradio.com/timetotalkaboutit and you can listen to this message again. I tell you, that's some awesome word. So you know what? Tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, Eastern Standard Time. That's 9 a.m. tomorrow morning and hear that awesome word. And know if you need prayer, if you need to be led to Christ, we will be happy to do so. Just go ahead and press that 1. Till then, you be blessed and dial that number tomorrow, 347-857-3925. Be blessed.
Let God, my sister, you can't handle it. Let God.